Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Insider's Guide to Peru. We're rounding the corner here, and we have some very interesting guests tonight. And I've been sending you out all of the links, so you should now have the links to Elizabeth Jenkins, Jorge Luis Delgado, Linda Fitch, Stevie Bell, and tonight we have with us Rosario Osaria. Is that correct, how I say that?
Yes.
And Maria Teresa Valenzuela, who's going to be translating some. And we're going to have a great conversation about Lima. And Lima is one of those places that a lot of tourists get there in the airport and they're like, oh, my word, this is just too intimidating, and they don't go any further. So we're going to get the insider's track to Lima tonight. Yeah. And I'm really, really excited about this. And then next week we have an anthropologist who's going to be talking to us. She has done a lot of work with Oscar Moreau. Oscar Moreau does a lot of work in north of Lima. So Bonnie Glass Coffin will be with us next week, and I'm looking forward to that. So let me introduce our guest tonight. We have Rosario Saria, who was born in Lima, from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong. And she's married, and she lives in, how do you say where you live? Because I've got to learn it, because we're going to be going there soon.
It's Tequisquiapan.
Let me practice that one for another 2 months, and maybe I'll get it right. With her family, and both her and Maria Teresa, they work together, and she has a center there that we're going to be actually doing ceremonies. And she leads the Temescal, the Sweat Lodge ceremonies. But she grew up in Lima. And Lima's a very magical city if you know where to go. And then we have Maria Teresa Valenzuela, who is going to be translating tonight. And she's one of my sisters. We met many years ago in Mexico. And she's an indigenous spiritual teacher and healer. And she comes from a long line of shamanic healers and curanderas. So tonight we have a really, really exciting call. And I asked to integrate Maria Teresa into it. I asked her if she would just open it up with a blessing. And then we're going to have a conversation about Lima. So Maria Teresa, did you, the two of you, talk about a blessing?
Yes. Okay. Corazoncito del cielo. Corazoncito de la Madre Tierra, Madre Tonantzin. Corazoncito de las agüitas, de los vientos, del fuego. Damos agradecimiento por este día. Damos agradecimiento por tener la oportunidad en este día de compartir la belleza de nuestro país con este público tan lindo. Damos agradecimiento por la alegría que vamos a compartir, mi hermana y yo aquí. Natatera Ani, Natatera Ani, Natatera Ani, Corima, Corima, Corima. Así es, Cometeo.
How beautiful is that? And now I'm going to ask that everyone takes a deep inhale, a nice breath in, and release all of the day. Because if you've had days like mine, it's nice to just let it all go before we get to really listen in here. So take a nice cleansing breath in. And release it. So the structure for tonight's call is a little bit different because there's three of us having a conversation, and I also have asked them at the end of the call, I want to talk about our upcoming trip to Mexico, which I'm really, really looking forward to in May, and I thought since we had everyone here, and we would have that conversation as well. But tonight, we're going to talk about Lima. So, Rosaria.
Yes.
So, when the first time I got to Lima, what I saw with my eyes were these armed guards and this airport where nobody spoke my language, and I was overwhelmed.
So, el aeropuerto, los soldados. Sí, al llegar a Lima,
upon arriving to Lima,
al aeropuerto,
at the airport,
el aeropuerto queda lejos de la ciudad.
The airport is actually very far from the city of Lima.
Entonces es importante.
So then it is very important
de salir del área del aeropuerto.
To leave the area of the airport.
Y los lugares más seguros es ir a San Isidro.
And the best place to go after you leave Lima is San Isidro.
San Isidro.
San Isidro.
San Isidro?
Sí, en San Isidro es un distrito.
San Isidro is a district.
Hermosísimo.
It's beautiful.
Y está en la costa frente al mar.
And it is on the coast, in front of the beach, up in front of the sea.
Sí. Y ahí están los centros hoteleros.
And that's where there's all the hotels, the tourist hotels.
Porque Lima.
Because Lima
tiene una diversidad cultural.
Has a very big diversity of cultures.
Tú puedes ver en las calles de Lima.
You can see in the streets of Lima.
Iglesias católicas.
Catholic churches.
Centros comerciales modernos.
Many commercial centers that are very modern.
Con vista al mar.
That look to the sea.
Barrios chinos.
You can find neighborhoods, Chinese neighborhoods.
Y mercados ricos en colores.
And many markets with very beautiful colors and wonderful smells.
En la ciudad, ahí en San Isidro.
In San Isidro.
Hay una ruina.
There is an archaeological ruin.
Que se llama.
It is called.
La Huaca Pucyana.
La Huacla Pucyana.
Okay. In the Huaca, so we were talking earlier about Huacas on the phone, that Huacas are rocks jetting up from the land at our power spots.
Okay.
So tell us about this power spot.
Sí, la Huaca Pucyana está en el centro del distrito de San Isidro.
So this archaeological ruin is at the center of San Isidro.
Fue construido en el siglo V.
It was constructed in the 5th century
de nuestra era, ¿no?
Of our era.
Fue construido con fines religiosos, que para religiosos, para ceremonias.
Yeah, it was constructed for religious ceremonies.
Y para controlar su abastecimiento de agua.
And to control the water coming in.
Porque está construido cerca del río Rímac.
Because it's constructed near the río Rímac.
¿Sí? Pucyana fue un centro ceremonial.
Pucyana was a ceremonial center.
Y administrativo.
And it was also an administrative center.
Es de adobe su construcción.
Its construction is adobe.
Y ahí estaban las culturas pre-incas.
And this is where the pre-Inca cultures were.
Y la cultura Wari.
And the Wari culture.
So if I'm understanding correctly, before people moved up to the mountains like the Caro and all of those other things, other places, they lived in Lima first?
Sí, en realidad los españoles llegan.
In reality, the Spaniards arrive.
Llegan a la costa.
They come to the coast of Peru.
Pero inmediatamente se meten hacia los Andes.
But they immediately went into the Andes.
Por eso Lima.
And that is why Lima.
Tiene una magia.
Has a magic.
Porque antes de ir a los Andes.
Because before you travel into the Andes.
O la selva,
or the jungle,
pasas por Lima.
You have to pass through Lima, and that's what the Spaniards did.
Porque en Lima recayó, o sea, porque en Lima recayó la cultura en Lima. La influencia en Lima llegó a Lima.
Uh-huh, because the Andean culture, it first arrived in Lima, and then it walked down into like Cusco, into the jungle.
What kind of what were the tribes in Lima? What were the medicine people like in Lima? What was their medicine?
Mira, la medicina en Lima,
the medicine of these tribes in Lima,
llega de los Andes y de la selva.
Comes from the Andes and from the jungle.
Sí. O sea, en Lima se juntan los chamanes de los cerros.
In the Andes, happened that all the shamans from the mountains would gather in Lima.
Oh, that's interesting. So yes. It would be the coming together, the coming together place.
Yes, and then if I may interrupt here a little bit, even today, Lima is a center where many aguasqueros come to work with a medicine plant. That there's many well-known aguasqueros that we know that work in Lima, and they come from down from the mountains.
The jungles, the mountains of the jungles, or the
mountains.
So if, say, people here have never been to Peru, and they're going to go to Lima, now, how many days should they spend there? What should they do there?
Yeah.
What would you suggest that they see?
Mira, yo creo que Lima,
I believe that Lima,
pueden estar de 3 a 4 días.
That you can be there from 3 to 4 days.
Porque,
really?
Yes, really, because hay otra ruina,
because there's another ruin,
que está a 20 kilómetros de Lima.
That it is 20 kilometers from Lima, and 20 kilometers is not hardly anything.
Que se llama Pachacamac.
It is called Pachacamac.
And what is that for?
Es un templo pre-Inca.
And it's a pre-Incan temple.
Con templo al sol, con templo a la luna.
So with a temple to the sun and a temple to the moon.
Ese paseo, esa visita, te toma casi todo un día.
That visit takes a whole day.
Porque
oh, really?
Sí, es muy grande.
The site is very, very big.
Hay un museo arqueológico ahí.
There is also an archaeological museum there.
Eso es para un día.
That is for one day.
Conocer Lima, el centro de Lima.
Also to visit the center of Lima, the city of Lima.
Donde se mezcla lo español.
For the mixture of the Spaniard.
Con lo del lugar, ¿no? Con lo nativo del lugar.
With the local cultures.
Habiendo unos museos interesantísimos.
And there's also some incredible museums in the city of Lima.
Sí. Entonces, ahí son 2 días.
And this is 2 days there in the city of Lima.
Sí. Después, a 2 horas de la ciudad de Lima.
And then 2 hours from the city of Lima.
Se encuentra Paracas.
There is a place called Paracas.
Donde están las líneas.
Where the ley lines are.
Eso te toma un día.
And that takes a whole day.
And what's it called?
Paracas.
Paracas.
Y se llaman, the name is, las líneas de Nazca.
And those are the Nazca lines.
Oh, the Nazca lines.
Sí.
And in order to see them, you have to fly over them?
Para verlas uno tiene que... Sí, hay dos maneras de verlas.
There's two ways to see the Nazca ley line.
O en los miradores de ahí, porque hay unos miradores.
There's like some very high like sites where you use like a telescope and you can look down at them.
Okay.
O avionetas.
Or fly over
them. Lido avionetas.
And what were the significance of these ley lines in their culture?
Es un misterio.
That it's a mystery.
Se cree, por un lado, que fueron los de la cultura Wari.
That for one of the things that they say, that it was from the culture Wari.
Y otra teoría que de los extraterrestres.
And another one that it's from the extraterrestrials.
And are they in the sand? I've never been there, so please tell me a little bit more.
Están en la tierra.
Yes, they're in the
son incisiones en la tierra.
They're like imprinted on the dirt.
Mm-hmm. But they're like solid by now, or are they movable, or?
No, from what I understand, I met an archaeologist a while back that actually she's a female that worked there on the ley line. And they're like if you can imagine irrigation ditches, because many archaeologists believe that they were, another theory, they were irrigation ditches for water.
Oh, really?
And this woman worked there. This archaeologist. So they're wide, like streets.
Oh, okay.
And they're all in shapes of animals. It's like walking through a street, but it's very dug in the ground, very imprinted.
Like they're deep.
Yes, they're
How
deep.
How deep are they?
¿Sabes como qué hondo es? Es como un canal, no te molestes, como un canal.
She said that she doesn't know, but it's like a canal.
So do people stay in Lima and then take a day trip out to the ley lines?
Sí, se quedan en Lima.
Yeah, they stay in Lima.
Conocen el downtown.
They get to visit the downtown of Lima.
Conocen Isidro y Miraflores.
Visit San Isidro and another community, Miraflores.
Y luego se pueden ir.
And then from there they go on down to Nazca.
And there's lots of different types of people who live in Lima. You're telling me that they have many, are there many different languages? Is the language primarily Spanish? Because there's Spaniards, German, you said English, Jewish, Arabic, Chinese. There's all these people who live there. How did they all get there?
Porque, ¿cómo llegaron estas inmigrantes que llegan de fuera?
She said that it has a history of large migration that has come in through the years, and it still continues to come in.
Arribaron, es cierto, arriban alemanes, ingleses, árabes.
Yeah, and it is true that there's many different cultures, Germans, Arabs.
Y llegan para formar su visión.
And they all come with the intention to form their own vision in Peru.
Pero la cultura andina, no, la cultura andina es la que al final los transforma a ellos.
But at the end, Rosario was saying that the Indian culture, even that they're coming to find their own vision, is what transforms them.
Creando nuevas
and forming new stories.
So how would be an example of that?
Es un ejemplo de eso.
Es un ejemplo.
Is that a reasonable question?
No. Por ejemplo, llegan italianos.
For example, Italians come
con su comida italiana.
With their Italian food.
Y hacen una combinación con la maravillosa comida incaica.
And then they make a very beautiful combination with
comida peruana.
With Peruvian food, national food.
Y ya le llaman ítalo peruano.
And then now they call it ítalo peruano.
So I understand there's some really delicious food and that there's world class dining in Lima.
In fact, Lopazi Rosario is an incredible cook of Peruvian food.
Oh, she is.
She's
gonna have to have some of her incredible Peruvian food.
Gourmet. I keep telling her you should open your own restaurant here in Mexico. Peruvian restaurant.
A Peruvian restaurant in Mexico. How timely.
Yes, when you all come to Mexico, that's part of our sharing that the study's going to cook Peruvian food for us.
So, tell me, how long did you live there, Rosario?
¿Cuántos años viviste en Perú, en Lima?
30 años.
30 years.
Wow, and what took you to Mexico?
¿Qué te trajo a México? Love. She fell in love with a Mexican man.
Did he meet him in Lima?
No. They met in an ayahuasca ceremony.
Okay.
Yeah, in Lima.
So tell me about your medicine training in Lima.
Que les platiques como
entrenamiento.
Yo llegué. She said that she arrived
hace 10 años,
almost 10 years,
con una búsqueda personal.
With a personal searching.
Y mi madre.
And her mother.
Me aconsejó.
advised her
de ir con Diego Palma,
to go with Diego Palma
y Alonso del Río.
And Alonso del Río. They're very well known aguasqueros in Lima, Cusco, Pisac, in that area.
What is their names?
Alonso del Río and Diego Palma.
And so your mother suggested, was your mother a medicine woman?
No. Her mother knew Diego Palma, that's an aguasquero, since he was a little boy.
Right.
Sí, sí. Y tres meses caminé con él.
And he walked 3 months with Diego Palma and Alonso del Río.
Luego nos fuimos a la selva.
Then she went on with them into the jungle.
Y ahí nos quedamos 15 días.
And they stayed there for a while.
And so did you originally go and do medicine work in the jungle or right in Lima?
She first started in Lima and then went on into the jungle to do the medicine work.
Now, Lima's a desert, right?
¿Lima es un desierto? No. Lima es costa, al lado del mar.
Lima is a coastal land. It's next to the sea.
But they don't have any rain.
Pero no llueve.
Sí, pero hay humedad del mar, o sea.
It doesn't rain, but it's very, it's humid. There's a lot of humidity from the sea, from the ocean.
Y es cierto, hay desiertos.
It is true, there are deserts there.
Al norte hay desiertos.
To the north there's deserts.
Y al sur hay desiertos.
And to the south there's deserts.
Pero hay valles.
But there's a lot of valleys.
Porque hay ríos.
Because there's many rivers there.
And so what is the primary business in Lima? What do people do?
So, principalmente Lima, mira, en uno de los principales es la harina de pescado.
One of the principal businesses is the flour of fish.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yes, sí. Después está la importación de alimentos también.
And then it's the export and import of elements, of food.
Right. So, is it a busy seaport?
What was the question again, Renee?
Is it a busy port? I mean, is there like, you know, in Chile, I know that I went to see the ports, and it was very busy. Is it like a busy port city?
Sí, hay un puerto.
Yeah, there's a port
que se llama El Callao.
That is called El Callao.
Que es hermoso para visitar.
That is beautiful to visit.
Otro día más.
Another day there.
Lima es ahora es una ciudad cosmopolita.
So now that adds on about 4 or 5 days to our trip to Peru, because she's saying that you're not doing yourself justice if you don't stay there for 4 days. For me, I've just flown in and flown out. I mean, I've spent a day in Lima at the most.
Yes, it's very interesting because last year I went with Rosario to Lima.
Uh-huh.
And myself, I had the experience of just going into Lima to the airport and out.
Right.
And I had heard things about downtown, but being with somebody that grew up there, it was a whole other story.
So what did you feel when you were there?
A lot of history. A lot of history.
Right.
Yes, that's very historical. Very also very cosmopolitan.
And there's what, I think 9 million people who live in Lima?
¿Cuánta gente vive en Lima? En Lima deben de vivir como 7 millones.
Yeah, about seven.
And when you're in, let me ask you, when you're in like the Sacred Valley, it feels very third world a lot. Is there that in Lima as well as the more educated people who are working in business? Is it like in Rio, which is like a very cosmopolitan, big money market city? Where does Lima fall in that?
En este momento,
at this moment,
cuando llegas al aeropuerto de Lima,
when you arrive at the airport of Lima,
y te transportas a San Isidro o Miraflores,
and you transport yourself to San Isidro or Miraflores,
es otra cosa.
It's completely a whole other reality.
Right. So, but there is.
But it is very cosmopolitan too. There's small businesses, restaurants, beautiful restaurants facing the ocean. Very cosmopolitan.
And so, tell me, where else would you venture out if you were making a trip to Peru and you based yourself in Lima? I know that Oscar Moreau Quesada, who's gonna have Bonnie here next week. But are there like could you make your adventure there without going to the Sacred Valley?
¿Quieres ir a otros lugares? Que dice que si uno va a venir a Perú, decidir a Lima es bastante. No lo tiene que viajar a otros como Cusco. Yo creo que es importante llegar a Lima,
to arrive in Lima,
recorrer Lima,
to go through a Lima, get to really know it,
y luego partir al Cusco,
and then from there go on down to Cusco to the jungle.
And would that give you a better understanding of the culture? Talk about the museum. I thought the museum was fascinating in Lima.
Hay muchísimo. There is a lot of museums in Lima. Yo te puedo nombrar los que me gustan a mí.
She's going to name the ones that she likes.
Okay.
El Museo de Arte.
She loves the Museum of Art.
Con la cultura prehispánica.
With the prehispanic culture.
Después está el Museo Nacional de Cultura Peruana.
And then there's the National Museum of Peruvian Culture.
Que es un recorrido de la época prehispánica.
And it's like a walk of the pre
hasta la actualidad.
Up to the present.
Y el Museo de Arqueología y Antropología.
And the Museum of Archaeology and Anthropology.
Que son las donde están las piezas de las culturas.
That's where all the pieces, the actual pieces of the culture are at.
Y otro museo es el Museo de Oro.
And then the Museum of Art of Gold.
Que es una colección de metales.
And it's a collection of metals.
Que trabajaban los antiguos pobladores.
That the old ancient ones worked. And then those are her favorites in Lima. But she said there's many.
And so I went to the one museum, and they actually had people, they had mummies there. Which museum was that?
Yeah, she said that it's a museum of archaeology and anthropology.
Después está el señor de Sipán.
Then there is the señor of Sipán.
Que fue encontrado hace poco tiempo.
That was found a little while ago.
Ese está en el Museo de la Nación.
And that's the Museum of the Nation.
Ese no te puedes perder.
And you cannot miss not going there.
Conocer al señor.
Which is there? Which one is that?
El señor.
El señor de Sipán.
El señor, the Mister of Sipán.
And how do you spell that?
S-I-P-A-N, Sipan.
Sipan.
And this was just discovered?
Sí, fue descubierto en el norte, en la norte.
It was discovered in the north.
Y ahora está en el Museo en Lima.
And then now it's in the museum in Lima.
Oh, is that that town, is that the village that they just uncovered?
Es como cuando descubrieron este poquito. Este pueblo es Caral.
That pueblo is called Caral.
And so talk to us about that. Can you?
She's never been to Caral.
It's in the north of Lima.
It's in the north of Lima.
Was it something that was talked about or known that was there, or was it a mystery, or what? I mean, was it just, did you know about it as a girl in school?
Okay, it's a girl, but when her mother told her that it is a very round place. It's like an archaeological ruin that is round, circular.
Right. Y en el Museo de Arqueología y Antropología, ahí están las piezas de Caral.
And in the Museum of Archaeology and Anthropology, that's where they brought all the pieces of Caral.
And why did they bring them there and not leave them in the surroundings? Because people would steal them, or
yes,
because that's just what they do.
Yes, because there's a lot of theft. Yeah.
You know, so what if somebody only had a day? Like, you know, there's those flights into from the Sacred Valley in the morning, and then sometimes that flight is out at midnight. And I used to be so tired I'd go stay at a hotel. But what if you only had that, you know, that 8-hour, 9-hour window? What would you, how would you spend your day?
Yo creo que sería interesante e importante.
I think that it would be interesting and very important
conocer el centro de Lima.
To get to know the downtown district of Lima.
Sí, porque ahí está la cultura española mezclada con la cultura peruana, ¿no?
Because that's where the Spanish culture is really, you see the mixture with the Peruvian culture.
Ahí puedes estar 2 horas.
You can be there 2 hours.
Y luego moverte a San Isidro y Miraflores.
And then walk on down to San Isidro and Miraflores.
Sí. Pasar el comer en Miraflores.
To eat in Miraflores.
En un restaurante que se llama Punta Sal.
In a restaurant called Punta Sal.
Sí. Y en la tarde.
And in the afternoon.
Yo iría a la ruina Huacapuyana.
And then I would go to the ruin Huacapuyana.
And so is there, like, tourist guides, or, I mean, do you need to know Spanish, or do you really need somebody with you? How do you get about Lima?
Sí, lo mejor es tener un contacto en Lima.
But the best thing is to have a contact in Lima.
Pero llegando a Lima en el aeropuerto, ahora ya hay, te ofrecen estos turismos.
But arriving in Lima at the airport now, there's a tourist guide there.
Y si tú ya tienes una idea de lo que quieres hacer.
And if you already have an idea of exactly what you want to do.
Ya vas a decir, quiero hacer esto.
And you just tell the guide, I want to do this.
Right. And so then, and then they're helpful with you.
Yes, entonces te ayudan.
Yeah, they you know, get a little wagon, and you know, they take you on the tour.
Pero si necesitas un contacto, pues,
if you need a contact, Rosario's family is there, her father, her brother.
are they tourists? Are they in the tourist business, or are they? What do they do? What do your family do?
No, but they're very kind people, and they love
tourists.
They love people from the outside that come to visit the city.
Okay, well, good. We're gonna have to. And we're talking about also planning a trip with people from Mexico to go to Peru next year.
Yes.
That's one of the things that Rosario, Maria, Trace, and I are talking about. What else should we tell people about Lima?
Después de uno del tarde conocer Lima,
after you really get to be and get to know Lima,
sí, el espíritu andino,
the Indian spirit,
ingresa en tu alma.
It comes into your spirit, your soul.
Y en ese momento ya estás listo.
And at that moment you're ready
de partir a los Andes.
To fly into the Andes.
Lima es la puerta.
Lima is the door.
De entrada.
To the entrance.
A la magia del Perú.
Of the magic of Peru.
So, when she says that, we're not doing ourselves justice. We just run from one airport to the next and skip out on the whole thing, huh?
Entonces dice que cuando vas a Perú, que no es justo que te vas de un aeropuerto al otro, sí, y no aprovecha la ciudad de Lima. En este momento, económicamente, la ciudad de Lima está bien.
She said that you lose an opportunity too, because Lima is an incredible city, and economically it is really good economically to visit Lima.
So I think that I haven't gotten my plane ticket yet for my trip in September, that I should probably get it a couple of days earlier and 4 days earlier so that I could do the Lima excursion. Because now when I hear you talk about it, I realize that I've never done justice by my visits with Lima.
Yeah,
No ha sido justa conmigo no visitar a Lima y decir que me maté del aeropuerto.
Así es cierto. Lima es la puerta de entrada a la magia del Perú.
That it's true that Lima is the door to the entrance to the country of Peru.
And so, and since it's such a culture of the land and the experience, that to not stand at that doorway long enough to have that experience really makes me really think twice about how I planned my excursions, for sure.
And she said that she's also willing to work with you to written to share more places, exactly, and everything. To Lima.
Well, you know, if maybe if you two could put me together like a list of places that people might want to see in Lima so that I could put that in the next newsletter, I'd be really happy to share that with people. And I think people would probably like that. So I think that's good.
Yeah.
Let's change subjects for a second and let's talk a little bit about what we're planning to do in May. In Mexico, and how we're bringing three different cultures together, my teachings, your teachings, and Rosario's teachings together for an advanced work with medicine work. So tell people how you see that vision, one of you.
¿Cómo ves la misión que vamos a llevar? Con ella, venir con su medicina, tú con el temazcal y yo con las plantas. Pues yo lo veo una maravilla. Al poder tener la oportunidad de caminar juntas, ¿no? Yo pienso que es autoexploración.
Yes, we've shared this and we've talked a lot that it's a wonderful opportunity to come together and to share these different teachings that in reality become one. To give us the opportunity to also to do a lot of self-exploration with these teachings. And then in Mexico, you know, here in the root of Mexico, you know, where our medicines are really strong.
And also what we're working on is this cross-cultural thing, not only the cross-cultural piece of three different teachers, but also that we're bringing together the people from your villages to sharing these experiences with us as well.
Yes,
I mean, I think that that's something that rarely people get to experience.
Yes, I think this is a very important point. I think for me, integration, especially in these times, is very important. And then, yes, it'll be you all coming from the United States and integrating with the local people here. And I have a feeling that it's going to be an incredible mixture, you know, understanding what's going to learn from each other. And then this town is very traditional. It is very indigenous.
So tell us about that town. How, Rosario, you've come from Lima, which is a very big city. So how do you like living in a small town?
Yo creo que eso es parte de mi naturaleza, ¿no?
She feels that this is part of her nature.
Yo siempre he amado vivir en un pueblo chico.
She has always loved living in a very small town.
En este momento de mi vida,
in this moment in my life,
vivir en este pueblo chico es vivir en mi burbuja mía que yo he creado, ¿no?
She says that at this point in her life, by living in this small pueblo, is actually living in this bubble that she has created for herself, because this is the way she wants it at this point in her life.
I have a question. How are the spirits different in Mexico? You know, how are the traditions different there than they are in the Andes? What would be similar and what would be different?
Well, this is very interesting because Mexico is divided into three parts. The northern part of Mexico, as we know, is more like very dry desert land, and that's where all the healers, the shamans, come from generation to generation. the central part of Mexico, and this could compare a little bit with the people from the Andes. It's more like mountain. We live more like mountain, high desert. And we're the people of the prayer. We're the people of the dances, the danza. Yeah, we do the dances. And then as you go into the lower part of Mexico, which is more like the Yucatan by the sea, those are the astronomers, people of the stars. So Mexico is divided into that. So a lot of our traditions in these parts of the middle part of Mexico, a lot of dancing, the concheros, a lot of honoring of the tradition that is one of the oldest cultures is the Chichimecas. A lot of the people here in this area are Chichimecas.
What does that mean?
That's the name of a very, very ancient culture, one of the first cultures in Mexico, and people here still are alive in that culture, and they're from that culture.
So, Rosario, how do you feel that that's different from the experience somebody would get in the Andes?
In my experience,
el año pasado estuvimos en los Andes.
We were in the Andes last year.
Tomando la medicina.
We were drinking the medicine, the ayahuasca.
Sinceramente, la autoexploración es. Yo a mí sí me parece que hay algo similar. Yo sí sentí familiaridad.
He feels that there is a similarity.
Sí, sí.
Big similarity.
Tanto en Perú como en México.
Like in Peru. As in Mexico.
Yo me siento muy a gusto.
That she feels very comfortable.
Trabajar conmigo.
To work with her.
A través de las tradiciones peruanas o mexicanas.
Uh-huh. In behalf of the Peruvian and Mexican traditions.
But is she an ayahuascaro?
She's a temazcalera.
And what does that mean? What's the difference?
A temazcalera is a guide that guides the sweat lodge. And,
okay.
And she is guided, and we say she was given the fire. The fire is the heart. It's the sweat lodge by a grandfather. His name is Tata Juvenal. He will be running our peyote ceremony. He's a peyotero conchero, and he's a guardian of a mountain near here called La Bernal, Peña del Bernal.
And
he
so
is her guardian, her guide.
And so tell me, I want a question, though. But in the traditional sweat lodge ceremony, are medicine, does she drink medicine with her ceremony, or is it more of a traditional, like what you did when you were here?
We work with the four elements.
Right.
No medicine. We drink no medicine. We work with the four elements.
Okay.
We work with the grandmothers, for the stones, four doors. But the difference is the ritual. The ritual is very traditional.
So she leads that, and then we will. So we'll be doing a ceremony like that, and then we will also be doing a peyote ceremony. Is that done in the lodge?
No, that's done. We do all our ceremonies outside on the ground in a circle.
Okay.
With the grandfather fire in the center.
And what is the temperature like in May?
¿Cómo es el clima en
mayo? Ideal, maravilloso.
Ideal, it's wonderful.
No llueve.
It doesn't rain.
Y es calor.
And it's hot.
Nice. So, Rosario, you like living in culture places where there's hardly any rain.
Te gusta vivir donde no hay lluvia.
Sí, el desierto.
She likes
the semi-desert. And also, I was reading in your bio that you also have studied in India, or with a Swami.
No, cuando vivía en Lima.
When she lived in Lima.
Yo estudié.
She studied.
El señor Krishna.
El señor Krishna.
El Bhagavad Gita.
El Bhagavad Gita.
Y también la doctrina de Sai Baba.
And also the doctrine of Sai Baba.
Entonces mis cantos y mis rezos.
Her songs and her prayers.
También son hindúes.
Are Hindu.
Very interesting. That's I have a very similar combination of things in a certain way. Do you know that? I suspect we have lots in common. So good. So we've covered pretty much a good groundbreaking idea of Lima, that it's a very important portal that people should spend some time to get to know before they get into the Andes, so that they would really, really have a better understanding of where they're going and get a better sense of the jungle, and that there's a lot to that. And then also we've talked a little bit about our trip in May, which is May 17th through the 22nd, and we're going to be starting in Mexico City, and we're going to go see the Cathedral of the Virgin of Guadalupe. Tell us about that, Maria Teresa.
Well, it's very interesting because coming to Mexico, the first place that everybody should go and does go is to visit the Mother of Mexico, which is La Virgen de Guadalupe. And her basilica, her home, is in Mexico City, and it's beautiful. About 20 million people a year come from all over the world, and that's where the apparitions took place. People from all walks of life come. You'll see people walking on their knees, movie stars. So it's like the heart of Mexico, going to the basilica, and that's where you offer your prayers and ask for guidance, your intentions to walk in Mexico, the country. You go to the mother.
That's going to be a powerful way of starting our journey. And then we're going to go, we're going to work with ceremony and some teachings. And then we're going to go over to the hot springs over in San Miguel Allende. And it just sounds like such a wonderful, magical time. And I expect that it's not going to be a large group of people, because we're asking for people who have done a considerable amount of work on themselves to be joining us on this adventure, because it's a personal experience, right? Am I correct in that?
Yes.
So this isn't a beginner trip like my trip to Peru next year, which is a lot more for people who have never been.
Uh-huh.
So what I'd like to do is I'd like to open it up for questions and see if there's anyone who has any questions either about the Peru or about the Mexico trip. So I'm going to stop the recording, and I'm going to open it up.